Hi, gang. Bob Boulding here for the Mystery Project. Just when you thought all the tensions and stress of the holidays were past, along we come to keep the pressure on. Last time, you met Nora Nicholson as Lady Holloway, a gentle, kindly soul who finds that her golden years might just fall a little short in the gold department and sets out to correct the balance. Written by Gerald Kelsey, this is the concluding chapter of Lady Holloway.
Such a touching story. No matter how often one hears it.
You're too tender-hearted.
Oh, too sentimental by far.
Not at all.
Hardly in keeping with the world we live in. They've no time for feeling nowadays.
Well, that's where we're fortunate, dear lady.
True.
I'm looking forward to our luncheon tomorrow. I've planned a little surprise.
Oh, you know, you really shouldn't. Grouse. Oh, it must be the very first of the season.
Thrown in from Scotland as a special treat.
Oh?
A celebration.
I don't understand.
Well, it's quite simple. I believe that when two people have as much joy from each other's company as we have had, it calls for a celebration.
I see. Yes, of course. I thought for a moment...
Thought what?
I thought you must have heard.
Heard?
Oh, dear. I've been putting off telling you, and now I suppose I must. Though it'll quite spoil the grouse, for me at least.
Oh, please, what is it?
Well, you see, this is in the nature of a special occasion, but... for quite another reason. I'm sure you don't doubt that I've enjoyed our little jaunts together more than I can say, but...
But what?
They have to end.
End?
I regret it with all my heart. I can't recall any association that has given me more pleasure, but...
What are you saying?
Oh, I'm sorry to blurt it out like this. And now the grouse will get cold.
Oh, never mind the grouse. Why? Please tell me why.
Oh, please don't press me.
But I must... If, as you say, our outings have given you the joy they have me, surely you can bring yourself to give me some explanation.
Very well, you have a right to know. But you, in turn, must appreciate my embarrassment in having to acquaint you with certain rather sordid facts that... No, I can't.
Oh, come now, please. Surely we are friends.
Of course. Very well. You see... My sister and I have been finding it increasingly difficult to make ends meet, as one might put it. In fact, we've reached a point where it has become imperative for me to accept a position.
A position?
Oh, dear, it's so difficult. As housekeeper, a nice family, I'm sure they'll be a pleasure to look after. They live in Derbyshire.
Derbyshire?
Oh, it's quite pleasant in the summer, they tell me.
You mean you're going away?
Almost at once. They've just written. I daren't miss this opportunity. If you only knew how much...
You mustn't go.
I've no choice.
Now, my dear Miss Lovelace, I had no idea of your delicate situation. I mean, typically, your sensitive nature has concealed your troubles completely. But now it's out, you must permit me to speak quite freely.
Well, what is there to say?
It is inconceivable that I should not see you again. You have come to mean far too much... for me to relinquish your friendship just like that.
Oh, please.
Miss Lovelace, only the situation in which we find ourselves would bring me to mention this. But the shock of your news and the apparent urgency makes me bold. Now, you know I've only a manservant, Moggridge.
Yes.
I don't have to tell you that he's getting old.
Yes, he is.
He finds it increasingly difficult to attend to quite simple household duties.
As I noticed.
Now, do you think... Would you consider... I mean, my requirements are not over-demanding. I don't think you'd find the task onerous. I'm told it's not an inconvenient house to run. And Mrs. Hartley comes in daily for the heavy work.
Are you suggesting that I come here as housekeeper instead of Derbyshire?
Well, it's so remote with coal mines. I mean, would you consider? We do get along together so splendidly.
Oh, please don't say another word. I'm most grateful, indeed honoured. I accept with the greatest of pleasure.
You do? Mm. Oh, you don't know how delighted that makes me.
And I can't imagine anything I'd sooner do than take care of the things here.
Moggridge! Morgridge!
Beg pardon, sir. Did you call? I was concentrating on the teapot, sir. Nasty stain in the flute.
Yes, yes.
Were you looking for Miss Lovelace, Mr. Holbrook? She's just popped down to the shop.
Yes, I saw her from the window.
Beg pardon?
No, it's you, Morgridge. I just wanted to say...
Nothing amiss, sir, I hope.
Oh, quite the contrary, Morgridge. I want you to know how pleased I am that you've made Miss Lovelace so welcome in the house.
She's a pippin, sir, if you'll forgive the expression.
I must say it has proved a most fortunate turn of affairs.
And she's devoted to you, sir. That's quite clear.
And such a gracious hostess, Morgridge. I mean, it's a pleasure to entertain nowadays. She has such a way with her.
Yes, she's a pippin, sir. A real collector's piece. I mean no disrespect, sir.
Well, I appreciate your sentiments, Morgridge. I confess I had faint misgivings at first, although, of course, I knew she had a fine appreciation of works of art.
Oh, no worry there, sir. She's as attached to them as if they were her own. She was very hot on Mrs. Hartley in the study yesterday when she left the curtains wide open. Have a care, Mrs. Hartley, she was saying. That sunlight will fade the Picasso. You keep that curtain drawn, Mrs. Hartley, if you please.
Such consideration.
Got your interests at heart, Mr. Holbrook? Yes, indeed. A pippin.
Quite. Before I forget, Morgridge, we'll be out all day tomorrow. I've discovered it's her birthday.
Ah, an occasion for a little treat, eh, sir?
Precisely.
Oh, this is so thrilling. Really, the Chelsea Derby group is too exquisite. Then, on the other hand, I've always longed for a first-period Worcester sauce boat.
Well, there aren't a pair, of course.
But even so... Oh, no, how can I resist that charming Meissen teapot?
Well, perhaps you'd like to look further. There are many other shops along the street.
Oh, no, this one is the best, I know. Now, I've made up my mind. The shape of the teapot is so unusual, don't you think? And that tiny head on the lid.
I particularly like the colouring.
Yes, and it's in perfect condition.
Oh, no doubt about it.
Yes, the teapot it is.
Splendid, I heartily approve. Let's go in and settle it. Then we'll have tea.
Oh, but what about your haircut?
Oh, I forgot.
I know, but it really is necessary. And it's a good opportunity. I've a little more shopping to do.
You're perfectly right, as always. Very well, then, let's get your teapot. Then I'll... toddle along to the barber and see you in the tea shop at 4:30.
Excellent. And Mr. Holbrook?
Charles.
Oh, Charles. This really is the most beautiful birthday present I've ever had.
That makes me very happy, Addie, my dear.
Oh, excuse me, sir.
Yes? What is it, Constable?
Just a word with you, sir. The lady you were with, sir, just now along the street.
Yes, yes, my housekeeper.
Housekeeper?
That's right. What about her?
Housekeeper, eh? I don't suppose you know, sir, she's just come out of prison.
What? Oh, nonsense. We're not talking about the same person.
I think we are, sir. Miss Adelaide Lovelace. We know her as Lady Holloway.
Good heavens. Oh, it's impossible.
I'm afraid it's true, sir. Released just a few weeks ago. I thought you ought to know. Good day, sir.
So sorry to keep you waiting, madam.
That's quite all right.
I've got the reproduction you ordered.
Oh, yes. Remarkable.
It's printed on canvas and varnished.
I know. That's what I ordered.
Without looking at it very closely, I doubt whether anyone could tell it from an original.
I wonder.
Oh, in a dark corner, it would be quite impossible.
How very reassuring.
I beg pardon?
It's in a dark corner that I'm planning to hang it.
Ah, oh, very suitable, madam. The colours are rather bright.
Yes. One has to admit Picasso does wield a spirited brush.
Mm.
You really should taste my sister Millie's drop scones. Not that these aren't extremely nice, but she's quite a genius with drop scones. Oh, did I tell you I had a letter from her yesterday? Her dahlia's got first prize again, but she's having trouble with the codlin moth. A slice of lemon in your tea, Charles.
Thank you.
You're very quiet. You haven't a headache, I hope. I know the noise of the
traffic. Miss Lovelace.
Yes, Mr. Holbrook.
I've just had a dreadful shock.
Oh, dear, I'm so sorry. Let me replenish your cup, then you must tell me what happened.
I was stopped in the street just now by a police constable.
Oh, goodness. Whatever for?
To inform me, Miss Lovelace, about you. To warn me that you have been in prison.
Oh. Oh, dear.
Is that all you can say?
It had to happen. My criminal past has caught up with me.
You admit it?
I'm afraid so.
But I can't believe it. You, the person of your... It's inconceivable.
I'm sorry you had to learn it this way, but now it's out, I'd better make a clean breast of it. Yes, I admit it. So long ago. Dear Mrs. Pankhurst.
Mrs. Pankhurst? You mean you were in prison with the suffragettes?
Oh, yes, we were all in there together.
Oh, but this is quite different. I thought it wasn't possible that... Oh, but wait a moment. The constable said you were in prison quite recently.
I'm afraid that's true, too. From suffragettes to ban the bomb, it really is a terrible record.
Nonsense. That wretched constable was grossly exceeding the call of duty. Good heavens, I mean, he had me thinking... I am utterly ashamed of the unworthy thoughts that went through my head. Oh, please forgive me, Addie. How could I for one moment have doubted you?
How could you? It is only a beautiful picture in a beautiful golden frame. And, oh,
it's Lovelace. You did give me a surprise.
And you gave me a surprise, Moggridge.
I thought you'd gone to Leamington for a few days with the master.
I was to have gone, but at the last moment I had a headache, so I stayed behind.
How unfortunate.
And you, Moggridge, it's your day off.
Yes, I shouldn't be here at all.
No, you shouldn't. You're usually halfway to your sister's by now.
It was the Quinces.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Quinces, miss. Quinces. Mrs. Hartley promised me some for my sister. My sister's very fond of quince jelly.
Oh, well, I'm afraid you'll have to go without the quinces this week.
Pity. My sister will be disappointed. Rather moody when she's disappointed, my sister. Perhaps this week I won't bother to go.
I tell you what. There's a jar of calves foot jelly in the larder.
Oh.
Take her that.
May I? That will be a treat.
Help yourself.
What a kindly thought. How very kind. So sorry you had to stay behind. Your bag all packed, too. And still in the hall, too. Shall I take it upstairs?
No, please leave it where it is.
Very well, Miss Lovelace. Pity about the trip, though. Would have quite set you up for the winter.
Oh, don't worry. I'll be set up for longer than that, Mr. Moggridge. Yes, indeed I shall.
Oh, yes, miss. Good. Good.
Oh, knife. Oh, bother. Where did I put it? Now, this is no time to be absent-minded, Adelaide Lovelace. Ah. It is only a beautiful picture in a beautiful golden frame. Good afternoon, Mr. Haggerty.
Well, well, well. My old mate, Lady Holloway.
Oh, don't stand there gaping as though I'm an apparition, man. Invite me in.
But of course, my lady. But one moment. I'll lay down the red carpet.
Mr. Haggerty, if you don't mind, I'd rather you kept your facetious remarks to yourself.
Oh, come. You're not losing your sense of humour in your old age, are you?
I haven't come here to discuss my sense of humour. The usual room.
It's been a long time. I was beginning to think you'd retired. How have you been?
Mr. Haggerty, your concern for my welfare touches me, but I'd prefer to stick strictly to business.
How'd you like my new decor?
Appalling.
Yes, isn't it? It's the wife, you know. She's no taste. Well, I tell you...
Mr. Haggerty, please.
Oh, I can see you're in no mood for social chat. Well, now, what have we got today, then?
A Picasso.
A what?
You heard.
And the lady isn't fooling.
How much?
Well, now, let me see. No, I don't think so. It's not one of his more popular periods yet.
How much?
I'll give you 5,000, Lady H.
5,000? My dear man, you obviously underestimate my appreciation of the situation. I wouldn't even consider twice that sum.
Now, please, please don't let's get into the realm of fantasy.
I agree. You know the value of this picture as well as I do.
Value? Who's talking about the value? You ask me what I'm prepared to pay for it, I tell you.
5,000 is robbery. I wouldn't dream of accepting.
I'm sorry, not a penny more. And I never haggle, Lady H, as you well know.
And I know you. But you're not the only pebble on the beach, remember?
Of course not. Why not try Sotheby's?
10.
5.
7.
5.
5,000? I wouldn't even consider it. I've had fairer dealings with a third-rate fence.
With whom, no doubt, you are very familiar.
If that's your last offer, there's no more to say, except that you are a parasite, Mr. Haggerty.
Do you want a sell, or don't you?
Not to you. Not on those terms. I'll see myself out. And if I may say, no person of discrimination would dream of living with such vulgar decor.
Get lost.
Parasite.
What a very sweet old lady. Hello. Hello, police. Is that the police? I want to give some information about a stolen picture. P-I-T... Picture. Picture. No, my name doesn't matter. But if you would care to send a card...
Robbery, sheer robbery. Nasty little man.
Just one moment, Lady Holloway.
Me? Oh, P.C. Briggs, I didn't recognize you. Anything the matter?
What do you think? Come on in the car.
Now, just a moment. I'm very busy. I'm sure there's some mistake.
Now, don't stand there gawping, ladies and gentlemen. Nothing to see. Let's talk about this at the station.
But I'm in rather a hurry.
So am I. Get in.
Really, this is outrageous.
Look, save the Sarah Bernhardt for the inspector. He's rather keen on the old amateur dramatics.
You've done it again, Miss Lovelace.
Inspector Farrell, if you don't mind my saying so, you're really being a little premature.
Oh, come now, come. This is a very valuable picture.
Well?
You're not going to deny that you had it in your possession when we picked you up?
Certainly not.
Then do you admit that the picture is not your property?
My dear Inspector Farrell, thousands of people are walking about the street with items of luggage under their arms that are not their property. Is that a crime? Think of all the bank messengers, postmen, delivery boys, people taking things to the cleaners.
Now, Lady Holloway, please.
I'd hazard a guess that if you stopped one in three people walking along with a brown paper parcel, you'd find they were carrying...
A painting worth £10,000.
It really is one of the less attractive aspects of associating with the law, the way one's words get twisted.
Where did you get it, Lady Holloway?
And it's quite clear you've been misinformed on the subject of Picasso's status as a painter. That figure is miserably at fault.
Yes, well, you must excuse my ignorance, Lady Holloway, but it won't be difficult to trace the real owner. I take it you're not prepared to make a statement.
What good would it do? It's obvious you had the ludicrous intention of charging me with unlawful possession.
You must be psychic.
You're making a terrible mistake.
For your sake, I hope so. All right, Briggs, take her away.
Charge room?
No. No, we'll have another chat later. Maybe she'll be more cooperative. Take her downstairs.
Right, sir.
The cells? Well, I do hope the heating's on this time.
Through here, my lady. You know the way.
I wouldn't refuse a mug of tea, young man.
Mr. Charles Holbrook?
Yes.
Come in, sir. Do sit down.
Thank you. I really don't know what this is about.
It's very kind of you to come, sir. I wonder if you'd be good enough to take a look at this picture here.
Good heavens! My Picasso!
Ah. Well, I'd like you to examine it closely to see whether you can positively identify it as your property.
Well, of course I can. How did you come by it?
You've been away, sir, I believe.
Well, just for a few days, yes.
And I believe you had in your employment a woman named Miss Adelaide Lovelace.
Had? I don't quite follow.
I'm afraid I have some bad news for you, sir. She is a woman with a very long criminal record.
Now, Miss Lovelace has told me of her brushes with the police, and I may say, Inspector, I have the strongest possible objections to what I can only describe as vicious persecution.
And has she told you that her record embraces fraud, theft, and some particularly imaginative confidence tricks, usually practiced on gentlemen like yourself?
What?
As I thought. I don't know what story she told you, sir, but I've no doubt that you took her on in complete ignorance of the true facts.
But she's been an exemplary servant.
Well, then I'm sorry to disillusion you, sir. It is an unfortunate business, but still, there's no need to distress yourself. It'll all be very straightforward. I have made out the charge sheet already, so you'll be good enough to...
Do I understand you're expecting me to charge Miss Lovelace with the theft of my Picasso?
Well, of course, sir. Well,
I'm afraid you're under a complete misapprehension. Miss Lovelace was not stealing the picture... I requested her to sell it for me. She was merely obeying my instructions.
You asked her to sell it?
She has an excellent knowledge of artwork.
Oh, no, just one moment, sir. You must appreciate that this is a bit difficult to accept. I mean, I have told you about the lady.
You have indeed, but I assure you, in this particular instance, your conclusions are unfounded.
Mr. Holbrook, I can understand your reluctance to bring a charge against the lady. She exercises considerable charm. But believe me, sir, she's a real hardened criminal.
So you keep telling me. But on this occasion, Inspector, I'm afraid you've made a mistake.
No, sir. I think you are making the mistake. If you think...
The lady was offering the picture for sale on my instructions, Inspector. That is not a criminal offence. I must ask you to release Miss Lovelace immediately.
So we're not going to have the pleasure of your company after all, Lady Holloway.
But I don't understand.
Nor me. You must have made quite a conquest.
Oh, dear.
You can consider yourself very lucky. Mr. Holbrook is waiting for you outside.
Oh, no. I can't face him. Is there a back way out? Hmm?
Oh, well, yes. If you go down to the end of this corridor and
then... No, that's not right. He doesn't deserve it. I must thank him. And I've got to apologize to him.
Just as you please.
I assure you, Mr. Holbrook, I've never felt so ashamed in the whole of my life.
Do have a Sally Lunn, Miss Lovelace?
Oh, no, thank. I don't know how you can treat the whole episode so calmly. I deceived you. After all the happy times we had together, and they were so pleasant... And yet I deceived you.
I thought you understood how I felt about you, Addie.
But how could you possibly bring yourself to speak to me again? How could you save me like that when I tried to rob you of £20,000?
No. I assure you the value was nothing like that.
Oh, please excuse me. A genuine Picasso would most certainly fetch that in the open market. I made most careful inquiries and... Oh, dear.
You're right, of course, my dear Miss Lovelace. The only point being that my picture doesn't happen to be genuine.
Not a genuine Picasso. Oh, no.
It's a copy, painted for me a few years ago by a completely unknown artist.
Oh, no, that's impossible. I was positively certain. Never in my life... Oh, I'm getting old. That's all there is to it. It's time I retired. I shouldn't have ventured outside my own province. Oh, the humiliation of...
Ah, you mustn't be too upset. It's an excellent copy, you know. It took one of the world's leading experts to detect it.
Truly, you're not just being kind.
No, it's a very good piece of work. But there, he spotted it. I made a foolish mistake, of course.
How do you mean?
If I'd used the artist who did my Van Goghs. Now there's a man. Yes, if I'd used him.
Your Van Goghs? I don't think I noticed.
No, you wouldn't. They're all in a museum in Texas. Yes, the Picasso was a stupid error. And I didn't really need the money. That's what made the 5 years seem so futile.
Oh, yes, I can imagine. 5 years when you didn't even... 5 years?
The scrubs. I was librarian, of course. But it still seemed an awfully long time.
Mr. Holbrook. Oh, Charles.
But I'm retired now. Thanks to Van Gogh and a certain oil millionaire out in Texas, they've amply provided for my future.
Oh, I'm so glad. How very fortunate. Oh, you don't still have the address of that artist, do you? Don't misunderstand me. A proper business percentage, of course.
You're incorrigible. But I do want to talk to you about a partnership. I have a proposition to put to you.
Partnership? That sounds most interesting.
No, I don't mean a working partnership. I had in mind something considerably more personal.
I don't understand.
I can think of no one with whom I would more desire to share my collection of antiques and pictures and, if I may offer it most humbly, dear lady, my life.
What? Oh, I don't know what to say.
What, you mean you don't want to?
Oh, no, I'd love to. But what you're offering me is quite overwhelming. Far more than I could ever deserve.
Well, then.
I'd accept most gladly and with the happiest heart, but...
But what?
How do you know you'll be able to trust me?
I'll take the chance. You see, my dear, I'm old-fashioned. I still believe in honor among thieves. Oh.
So, to close out the year, we send you all away with a bright feeling. In the cast of Lady Holloway, you heard Nora Nicholson as Addie Lovelace, Alan Webb as Charles Holbrook, and Noel Hood as Millie Lovelace. With them were Margaret Robertson, Ronald Herdman, Sean Arnold, Dennis Hawthorne, Anthony Vickers, and Wilfred Babbage. The play was produced by Martin Jenkins. Our coordinating producer is Barry Morgan. The executive producer of The Mystery Project is Bill Howell. I'm Bob Boving, thanking you for listening and inviting your comments. See you next week. You're listening to CBC Radio 1, 91.5 in Ottawa.